Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show special birthday edition. That's right. It's Dave's birthday. Happy birthday, Dave.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Dave. And this is the one time that Apple's effects don't work. Maybe we can give you some love.
Nope.
Oh, no, there we go.
I think mine aren't working either.
As the king of the Mac Show, I hereby, by royal decree, designate today as Dave Ginsburg Day.
So spake the king, so shall it be.
And the king shall now render a solo a cappella edition of Happy Birthday.
No.
I shall honor the wishes of the birthday boy. Plus, the king is just coming off of a cold. And just got his voice back.
So the king is human after all. Mm.
And we have matching shirts.
Royal blue.
Guards.
Anyhow, I'm Jeff Gamut. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I'm so glad to be here so that I can be part of Dave's birthday celebration. Seriously, happy birthday. Dave, with that, how are you, Mr. Birthday Boy?
I'm doing good. It's Friday, took the day off, so I can enjoy time to myself and be out with you guys for the next few hours, since we'll record In Touch with iOS a little later. I'm doing good. Been up and down with a cold, but trying to get through it. I've been okay, though. But, other than that, doing great. Thank you.
It's awesome. I just realized this is our special birthday month, because we've already had the royal birthday, mm-hmm. and now we have your birthday. So, I guess that means, wait, no, Ben, your birthday is right
month.
Before the new
November.
Life. That's right.
Yeah.
That's why October is a very special month set aside. Because it's Ben's birthday month, and we have that big end of the month bash that everyone celebrates with giving away candy and fun parties
and pumpkins and costumes,
right? Yeah,
and black cats.
Yeah, that's right. So
yeah, to celebrate Prince Leo.
That's yes. Well, speaking of royalty. How are you, Your Majesty? And also, I can't wait to hear the story of how it was decided that you won, because that's how you became the king.
Well, I will give you my royal origin story. I listened to Gurman.
So you have a court muse, Lord Gurman.
Yes, royal prophet is almost always right about Apple.
Good to listen to. Yep. Chuck, sir, I guess I don't have any special fanfare for you because it's not birthday time for you. Nonetheless, how are you?
I'm great, and I will be posting a link in the chat room later. Since Dave will be going out celebrating tonight, I've started a GoFundMe for his bail fund. So
smart move. Yeah,
if you want to contribute to that, I'm sure that he would appreciate it, because he really doesn't look good behind bars.
Stripes, sure. Bars, no.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We have to call Larry O'Connor from OWC to go bail him out, because none of us will be there.
All right, but you know, Larry's a really nice guy, and I bet he would do it. Mm-hmm. He'd pay your bail in docs.
Yep.
Yeah. And that brings us to, I guess, now our former queen, Patrice.
I'm still a queen.
Okay, so, you're still a queen. Our former ruling queen.
Okay, I'll take that.
How are you?
I'll designate her Queen Emeritus.
Okay, I'll take it.
It's Emeritus.
Queen in exile.
Queen in exile. Yeah, exactly. That's true. No, I'm doing good. Just crazy everywhere at work. Christmas markets are starting this week in Vienna. There's a ton of them. They're starting like this week and next week, I think. So it's a little bit like couple here, couple there, but it's like, I don't know, 30, 40, 50. I have no clue. Like, I got a map from our like local public transport company, and they're like, hey, like, if you want to go to the public, to the like Christmas markets, here's the map and here's how to get to them. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot.
That's also so really cool that they do that.
Yeah, I mean, we do actually have working really, really good public transport here. I can go anywhere in the city, reasonable time frame, by public transport. Every, whatever, 5, 6, 7 minutes, there's another train, another tram, another bus, something like that. So I know, that sounds crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, we get one bus like every 40 minutes.
If you're lucky, if it shows.
Yeah, for me to get to where a bus can pick me up is about a 15-minute walk. And they don't come that often.
Yeah. I have literally 6 minutes this way. There's two bus lines. 1, 2 minutes that way, there is a tram line. 6 minutes that way, there's a metro stop. 6, 7 minutes that way, there's another tram line. Like, I can literally walk, and within 10 minutes, I have some form of public transport. It's just a matter of where do I want to go and which one do I pick.
Would love yes, that.
5:26 p.m. Because my Apple Watch again.
Yeah, I literally am around the corner from a bus stop.
That if I want, no if bus I want, is ever I, used, right?
Yeah, that no bus ever comes to.
Exactly. That's how it works.
I really miss that from my last trip to London. And it's interesting. Because from my perspective, the public transportation in London is really easy to figure out, and it's super convenient. But when I talk to people who live there, they're like, it's kind of a mess. It's not reliable.
It's all relative.
It's all relative.
Don't go during peak times. You'll cram into a train.
Well, that is definitely. But you have that in New York as well. Like, if you go peak times, they're gonna be crammed. They're gonna be stinky and all of that. Like, don't go in the summer. Like, it's the same everywhere. Yeah, we have that here. So.
And yeah, but it's still really good to have a. UK reference on the British Tech Network.
Probably the only UK reference on the British Tech Network.
Right? Yep. All right. Well, we should probably do some news, and we will start off with what Ben wanted to talk about, which is something that that I'm happy to talk about as well. And this is the new smart lock protocol standard, Aliro, that that has just been announced, and it's based off of Apple's HomeKit smart lock protocol.
HomeKey.
Thank you, HomeKey. And Google and Samsung, they're part of the whole consortium that is backing this. Anyhow, so we may at some point in the near future have a standardized smart lock protocol.
Very nice.
Yeah. And we need to. Thankfully, this seems to be Apple producing a pattern these days. Instead of producing something really great and keeping them to themselves, which they've kind of traditionally done, with HomeKit, they made something really great. They spun that off into what became Matter. The underlying technology with MagSafe, or at least the phone version of MagSafe, That was the technology from that became Qi-2. And now HomeKey is being taking the technology from that and creating the standard of Aliro. Can we get a fourth here and get a standardized car key?
That would be nice. I think Apple has learned from Lightning to some extent, because I think they, and maybe it's a little bit HomeKit, I think they realize that if they don't work on either like creating a standard with others or whatever they've done becoming the standard, then someone is going to step in at some point and take it away.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will be someone will come up with a competing thing, and then someone will step in, like governments, EU, US, whoever will step in and say, well, we don't want to pick one. So I think they're learning from that and simply saying, well, maybe we should have one, like work together, figure out the way to do it. You can still do stuff on top. I mean, we see it with Matter. You can Matter and other things like HomeKit can coexist.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can control something over Matter and it has the functionality that Matter supports. And if you want more, then you use a custom app and do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And just work on top of that.
The big thing that I like about this announcement fits in with the whole MyQ news, which is that MyQ
we talked about yesterday.
Disaster, yes. We should call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So for those of you that haven't watched this week's big show yet,
well, they should go and watch it.
They should go and watch. We'll wait. We'll be here.
Exactly.
Welcome back. So what happened was Chamberlain, they shut down the APIs that allowed people to do a lot of smart home things with this device that turned your regular garage door opener into a smart home device.
Yeah, like HomeKit.
Like HomeKit.
For example.
Yeah.
So yeah, they shut down HomeKit, they shut down Google Assistant. Is that what it is? Google Assistant. Then they killed their APIs. And so basically what they've done is taken this device that was promoted as this thing that you could do a lot of smart home stuff with and turned it into something completely proprietary. And and for people that were already doing things with it, that's gone now. They just lost that. So when you have something that works with standards like Matter or and now the emerging Aliro, you're not beholden to a single company to make your device work. And I really like that, which means like let's say Schlage, which this is not going to happen, but it's the lock maker that came to mind first. Let's say they get out of the smart lock business. Excuse me.
Yeah, which would be like Stark Industries no longer making weapons.
Exactly. Yes, it would be very much like that.
It's a good analogy.
But if that did happen in Bizarro World, your locks would still work if they had been made to support the Aliro standard. And then you could just use some other application to do things with it, and you'd be okay.
Yep. I mean, and I can actually give a real-world example of this. I bought a smart switch and a smart... outlet from Best Buy under their what was their previous brand, but it was pretty much an in-house. Well, Best Buy decided to shut those their smart stuff down and basically refund everybody their money. Well, since I used HomeKit, it worked way after support.
Yeah, question is for how long, but at least for now it works.
The only thing I have to wonder about this is we've seen, I mean, we saw the Matter standard, you know, the threads and Matter come out. And then we saw people start to back away. And I don't want to rain on anybody's. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't Belkin seen anybody back away.
Belkin backed away from, was it Matter?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I'm not making that up. I'm pretty sure. I'm sure that, you know, they decided that there was no way for them to differentiate, and so they didn't want to become a commodity. I think I've got it's either Matter or Thread.
No, you're right. You're
Belkin
right.
Belkin smart home brand Wemo is backing away from Matter.
Yeah.
I found an article. I'll drop it into.
Thank you.
The live chat.
And this is what bothers me about some of this, you know, is the standards are standards right up to the point that somebody decides to break ranks. And so I'm optimistic given the people that are involved, the companies that are involved in this particular initiative, but just be aware that there's no guarantee. I mean, I think Jeff, you were the one that said there's a much higher likelihood that if one of them does break ranks, that there'll be plenty of other options.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the thing. It's from my perspective, a risky move to break away. I mean, unless nobody is supporting it at all and it's kind of dead, which in Matter's case definitely is not the case. Mm-hmm. Like if nobody was using it and nobody was doing anything with it, then yeah, okay, back away from it because it doesn't bring any benefits. But like, I think it's not in this case. I mean, Belkin can do whatever they want. Like their decision. Yeah.
And quite frankly, Belkin has a history of making poor decisions.
Yes.
And you know, it's too bad because from the consumer standpoint, this was supposed to unify everything. This was supposed to be, okay, now once you upgrade to Matter, you're not going to have to worry about things being compatible. You can pretty much buy anything. And then somebody like Belkin, who is a major manufacturer, throws a monkey wrench in. And I'm hoping that the standard holds and Belkin is left out in the cold.
Yeah, they will come back then. I mean, that's not the point. But yeah. I think, I mean, like for smart locks especially, I've had a smart lock for, and now let me think about it, probably about close to 10 years. Like here in Europe from a company called Nuki. In the US, it was an August one. Like, I've had him for a long time, and one of the persistent issues was that I wanted to give other people access, but they had to download a special app for that and register maybe an account or something, and they never did. Mm-hmm. And I think if a standard can be found that everybody uses, that integrated, I mean, since Apple, Google, and Amazon are with it, it will be integrated into their phones already.
Yeah.
That will work because then they don't need to download anything. They just get on their phone that they're already using to get an invite that says, "Hey, like, I want to share this lock with you." And they say, "Yeah, okay, fine." And they have it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier. I mean, will they use it? We'll see. But at least one thing is gone. One big hurdle is gone.
Mm-hmm. Can you withdraw that permission?
Patrice? Yeah, you can. Sure. Yeah. Okay. I can give it temporarily. I can withdraw the permission at any time. Like, I give temporary access to people all the time. But I said, the problem is always getting them to actually download the app.
Yeah, the smart lock that's on my door and my apartment complex, it's all smart locks.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice because I can go and change my code anytime I want. I can assign temporary codes or give people their own codes. The problem is the way the system works is that I have to, if they don't have their own account, I have to provide their phone number to to the app and to the company, which means that I'm now giving up personal information for someone else without their permission. And so in the end, what I realized is that the system has been created in such a way that it prevents me from actually using the features that are available in the smart lock.
Yeah. I mean, it's still convenient for you, but it's less useful.
Yeah. So if I'm doing, this is my workaround. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing something where I know someone needs temporary access and they shouldn't have access to my place all the time, like I'm traveling, I will change the code on my door for when I'm traveling. And when I come home, I change it back to what I want it to be. So my temporary code is temporarily just the only code, which is an absolutely stupid workaround. But there you go.
But it works.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, it works, but it's still, it's not what it should be.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyhow,
I mean, the sharing part, I mean, that I can understand. That is a problem, especially phone numbers. But I mean, you need some way to send to them. I mean, for the code, maybe it wasn't necessary. You could just like give the code to you and you text it to them or whatever. Like that would be, in my opinion, possible. Mm-hmm. But like for example, if I have an invite, I have to send either a link or something to them, like to something they can use.
Yeah. And the way this app is set up, I ought to be able to just generate a temporary code.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell them what it is, because you don't need an app to use the lock.
Yeah, exactly. So just give it, as I said, just generate it for yourself and then you share it. Done. Right. Easy.
Yet that's not how it's set up.
Yeah. Makes you wonder why.
It does. And my assumption is that it has nothing to do with helping customers.
Nope.
Yeah.
No good. No.
No.
Nope.
All right. Next story. Apple is going to appeal the. Let me start over, because I realized as I started talking, my voice process was beginning to fail, and I wouldn't have finished the sentence before it was just like. Anyhow, let's try this again. Apple's going to appeal the EU ruling about the whole changes to the App Store. That it's the gatekeeper thing, basically.
Mm.
And so the EU ruling says that and yes, I'm really condensing this down. Alternate access to App Store for third parties, or alternate app stores created by third parties, and Apple wants to maintain its gatekeeper position over the content that's distributed through its store and how payments are made. And the EU saying and that's not just for Apple, it's for all the smartphone makers. So this isn't an Apple
all big companies
thing.
Yeah, all, yeah, big, all big tech companies, yes. Yeah. could be covered. Yes. Yeah, I mean, for iMessage I agree, because I think, I mean, like, what's the downside for users? Like, from a user perspective, what's the risk here? And the risk here is, well, we use text messages, or we use WhatsApp, or we use one of the million other options. So I'm like, I don't see the problem with iMessage being a closed system. It's definitely nowhere big enough. I mean, it's barely big at all. Like, Apple doesn't have the market share here that it has in the US even to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, even amongst the iPhone user, nobody cares. Like this story that I've heard in the tech world where, oh, there's pressure that people have green bubbles. I've never,
nobody cares,
ever heard any one of my normal friends talk about this at all. They do not care. Is it green? Is it blue? Who cares? Yeah. Can I send a message to that person? Yes, I have the phone number. If it's green, blue, who cares? Like, it works. And 90% of the time they use WhatsApp. So, which I hate, but yeah, that's the reality. So maybe like iMessage is not the problem.
Yeah.
App Store, I see it differently. I think App Store, they might have, like, you might have a point.
I mean, I love the way I love the way you said you're normal friends, Patrice.
Yeah, we're not normal. I mean, I don't think we're none of us are normal users of our technology.
Yeah,
non-tech,
and it's fine. Like I don't like I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and even among the abnormal, a number of times I have ever had trouble communicating with an Android using colleague or friend or family member.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yes. I mean, the number of times I have cared whether the bubble was green or blue is about probably also zero. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. I can send a message. It works. Yay. Done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Green, blue, pink, striped.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Honestly, with the iMessage features I actually use, I can do everything I normally do talking to an Android person.
Exactly. There's some people that are nice to have if they're there, but if they're not, I have alternative ways to do it.
But what this says to me is that they are so jealous of Apple and they so badly want, I guess, validation of some kind. I'm with you, Patrice. I don't completely understand it because, as you say, it's
politics.
It's pure politics.
Yeah.
And it also, I mean, we've heard a lot about the younger people seeing a blue bubble as some kind of status symbol. Okay, great. You know, that's fine. And that to me says that's where the pressure is, they see they don't want there to be a status symbol. They want everything to be level so that maybe people won't see an iPhone as an aspirational device.
And that's never going to happen because the bubble is not going to make a difference. Like, I mean, we've all been teenagers. And when we were teenagers, I'm assuming there was something that was a status symbol, whether it was you had a Walkman, you had an Apple, you had whatever, like an iPod, you had clothes from a certain brand or company. There's always been status symbols of some sort. And this is not going to change that because the iPhone as a status symbol stays. Whether that's a green bubble, a blue bubble, a set pink bubble, the iPhone will be the status symbol as long as it's seen that way, simply.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, then the EU has to say, well, all iPhones have to cost the same. Then maybe, even then, I'm not sure that it will actually solve the problem, but then we're closer to, okay, it's not a status symbol, because then probably everybody just buys an iPhone and we're done. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
But you're getting complaints too about the fact that the family's split. You got Android or you have iPhone, and some of the features of what iMessage does, the people on the Android side can't see it. So you have that challenge too. But
very rare. I know very few. I mean, maybe that's maybe different in the US. I know very few families where it's actually split. Most families are either on the Android side or on the iPhone side, and they like that's what they use. And I think the reason is that, well, if the family's on iPhone, then everybody's on iPhone. If the family's on Android, then everybody's on Android. And usually, one way or the other, people are going to switch eventually.
Right.
Yeah. I'm in that minority group where it is a split family, and it's one person is on Android.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to change.
No.
And it doesn't matter except for when we're doing a group conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'll have a group conversation that fractures.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
Here this is not a problem because here, as I said, I mean, no, very few people actually text. Honestly, I don't think iMessage usage is that big. WhatsApp here is the big thing. If you don't have WhatsApp here, then that's a different.
And that's the thing. WhatsApp isn't as popular in the United States as it is in other countries.
Yeah, though it could be because I think Meta is going to combine it in Messenger into a single app, but that's another story.
Yeah.
When that happens, sure. My family will probably roll over into using the Messenger WhatsApp hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the fact that I'm in a very, very small subset where I end up with chats that fracture into multiple chats. because of one person's phone.
Yeah.
That's not a reason for government regulation.
No. And as I said, it's not as if there were no alternatives that you could go to. I mean, yeah, maybe you would have a hard time in your particular case convincing the people to actually use an alternative, but there are alternatives. Like, it's not even just WhatsApp. There's a ton of alternatives that work across all platforms that would be there. Like, pick one. Heck, set up an IRC and do it that way. Like, I mean, that's probably the worst option amongst all of them, or at least for the non-techie people, but it would work.
That's true. I've got a Synology sitting right over there.
I probably have a Raspberry Pi somewhere. I mean, IRC doesn't need anything. Like,
that's true. Right. I have multiple Raspberry Pis sitting around. Yeah.
Yeah. See, so as I said, like, worst case, that would be an option. So as I said, like, on the messages, I don't get it. I mean, sure, like, others are probably pushing that from and saying, oh, we would like to be included there, but again, that's probably that status symbol thing. Hey, if we can say that we're working in Apple iPhone messages, that would be so cool for us from a marketing perspective.
Yep. All right. Next story. Let me drop a link in here. All right. iOS 17.
That's the same link again?
Oh, come on. What is it with Apple and Clipboard being so screwed up? And this is something that has been going on for years.
Did it twice.
Again.
We're going to have to appeal it to the EU.
Right? Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's have a gatekeeper thing about that. The Clipboard is gatekeep. Like, it doesn't accept other links,
right? Okay. Clip, here we go. Clipgate.
Yay. No, that works. Yay,
that worked.
Okay, on a side note, is it just me, or does macOS Wine Country feel like it is always this close to just completely flying apart out of control? Like, I feel like Wine Country is an operating system where it's working, but I'm on eggshells because I don't know what's going to go wrong or when. And holy crap. Yeah. Anyhow, related to that, I'm now on week two of trying to get mail on my Mac to work correctly. Like, one of my email accounts is making it freeze. And I can't.
You should get on that.
I've installed
discrimination against that email account.
Every Mac email app I can get a hold of. And what it's coming down to is, turns out all email apps are straight up garbage. They are the inkjet printers of email. And the conclusion that I'm coming to is that for as crappy as all of these applications are, the one that's the least crappy, yet still crap, is Apple Mail. I was not expecting that. So I need to figure out how to get Apple Mail working again. Anyhow, frickin' macOS Wine Country.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So you wanted to talk about this story.
Oh, right. Yes. Sorry. I forgot. This is not my personal therapy session.
It's your personal
rant. Who said that?
Yeah.
I thought that was exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Welcome to Jeff's Rantapalooza.
Yes. Yeah. We will not be talking about the actual Apple platforms that this is a story about and complain about the Mac instead.
Right. And I mean, seriously, who's going to stop me? But all right. So let's talk about the story. We might as well, because I tried so hard to drop a link to it into the live chat and finally got it to work. So might as well put all my hard work to some good use. All right. So spatial video recording for iPhone 15 Pro is in iOS 17.2 beta 2. And to me, that's very interesting and exciting because that gets us a step closer to being able to record all our own spatial videos for Vision Pro when it comes out next year. And I haven't actually read through the whole article because why would I? Does it talk about the limitation that I actually see as an issue for recording spatial video, which is 30 frames per second instead of 60 frames per second?
Yes, it does. It does mention that. But let's start from the beginning. Like, if you want to enable it, so if you're on the beta or when it then comes out on like actual release in 17.2, when probably before Christmas, probably still, I would guess at least. You go into settings app in the camera section, and then you select format and enable that. There's a toggle for it. Once you've done that, you have that as an option in your standard camera app. But you're right. One, it has to be held in landscape, so like no vertical video. Doesn't work that way. Because it uses, you can see that here, the two cameras, so you have to hold it like that. It uses, I think, these two. So that's one thing. You're right. It is 1080p, so not 4K. And it's 30 frames per second. And it takes for about 130 megabytes per minute. So not too bad, but yeah, it takes some, like if you record an hour, it will be quite big. It will be like a couple gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I could do the math, it's probably about 8 gigabytes or something for an hour, something like that. So you can view it on the iPhone. That's nice. You can see it for sure, not in spatial. Like everything, but you can at least see it. It will for sure only work properly with 3D and everything in the Vision Pro. But still, 30, I mean, I think we're so used to, I mean, the 30 versus 60, I would say, probably not a big issue for most people. But I think the 1080p versus 4K will be, because it is, that is visible. And I'm guessing it will also be visible on the Vision Pro, that it's not that it's not 4K. I think the problem here is the size, because if you do 4K, then it's probably instead of whatever 8 gigs, it's probably 50 or something for an hour. And I think that's the thing Apple doesn't want. Even though it's only on the Pro phones anyway, I think Apple is kind of shying away from that one.
I
but they could enable it as an option. Like, I don't get it. Could. Like, just allow it and just say, hey, you want to do 30, 60, 4K, 1080?
Even if it was something as clunky as, we've detected you've plugged in an external USB-C hard drive. We will now show the feature or enable the feature so you can do 4K video recording.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it'll automatically go to the external drive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the other reason for this could be, I don't know how much processing it takes to do this. Mm-hmm. I know the iPhone 15 Pro is quite a powerful beast. It has a lot of extra chips and extra power. But I don't know what the impact of the, because it is 3D, right? The spatial or something akin to 3D. It might not be proper 3D, but it's similar to 3D at least. I don't know how much processing power is needed to do all of the computation there. So it could simply be that it's reaching the limit and 1080p pixel-wise is the maximum it can do in reasonable time without burning through your battery. And basically you take whatever 5 minutes of video and then your battery is empty.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be. So it's hard to tell, but it's still strange, and I still think they could have figured it out.
And the other thing on that note, this is its first appearance in a beta.
Okay, that is true. Fair point.
Fair.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's could be something they're just trying for testing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that we're seeing this in the 17.2 beta 2, does not completely indicate that we will see a final version of spatial video in 10.2.
17.2, yes.
Oh, yeah, 17.2.
Yeah, that is true. They could postpone it. They could maybe 1080p is good enough to test it initially and get mm-hmm. first feedback, yeah, and then they sense. Optimize it and then they do 4K. Could all be like, yeah, you're right. And it might be in, I mean, they said it's going to come this fall, I think. So it would be on time, but it's not the first time Apple has done stuff like that where they announced something, said it's going to ship a certain time frame, and then didn't work, and they postponed it till whatever next year or never.
Yeah, well, and in this case, yeah,
never, probably not going to happen, but next year could be, right?
Yeah, but it okay. So let's say they don't roll out the spatial video recording this year. I don't see that as a big deal because mm-hmm. Vision Pro isn't available this year.
Right.
Yes and no. I mean, the question remains, how relevant is that currently to most people? Again, to normal people, like not like us. So I don't know. But I think the earlier it would be available, the better it would be for the shipping version of the Vision Pro. Because then you have already, hopefully, done at least a couple recordings for yourself that you can see. That you can mm-hmm. like actually try it and test it out. And the shorter time span it is, the less content you will probably have recorded in spatial video.
Yeah, to me, this is going to be, I think it's a test. They wanted you to test the mm-hmm. the functionality. And yeah. I mean, obviously, developers who have the developer kit for Vision Pro, they can mm-hmm. test it as well to see how it would look.
It's true.
So if they start using 4K, those are monster files, they just want to get just the beginning yeah. testing.
Yeah, and my prediction is that in future versions, this will not be a special mode. Currently, you have to switch to spatial video in right. your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the future, I think that it will only work really well if it's the standard. Or if you can say, well, I always want to record in spatial video because I want to watch everything on Vision Pro. I have a Vision Pro, or my family has one, or whatever. Like, and it should be the default. Like, maybe for people who don't care, you can disable it, but it should be the default. We're not there yet.
Interesting. We're having this much discussion over something that's not even here yet.
Right.
Yeah, but it's interesting, right? It is definitely an interesting feature.
Oh, it's a very interesting feature, and if you know, Apple seems to be trying to think ahead a little bit, mm-hmm. almost anticipating, as opposed to saying, okay, well, we have Vision Pro, and now we have this other feature. You know, it's almost like they're trying to build the feature out ahead of time before mm-hmm. we even see the device.
True,
which is smart because we're really talking about the launch of a new platform. And yeah, right. you don't want to launch a platform without anything for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's anyway only going to launch in the US, so it's going to be limited anyway. But not having nothing for it would be a problem.
Yeah.
And I mean, by the time, even if nobody records any spatial video before it, let's say nobody outside of maybe again us, the testers and the people who care and who try it out and provide feedback and all of that, that's still valuable because then by the time people have their Vision Pros and start actually recording them in a like serious manner because they are like, I want that for my Vision Pro, it actually works. It's actually mm-hmm. hopefully good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm assuming that by the time the Vision Pro ships, people will have videos available on their websites.
Oh yeah, I guess that.
There'll be professionally yeah. produced content. There'll also be user produced content that you can.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Find on launch day.
Yeah, which would be perfect if you had an iPhone who can do that. Because I mean, as we've heard and seen, the iPhone now is a serious thing you could use in professional productions. Mm-hmm. So there's an option if you have a professional production and you want to maybe produce or someone, I don't know, Apple contracted you to produce content for the Vision Pro. Get an iPhone 15 Pro Max and an external hard drive and start recording.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I am now looking forward to seeing everyone's Vision Pro videos. By the way, mm-hmm. if someone can send me a Vision Pro, that would be great.
Oh, same.
Yep.
I'll take one.
Yep.
Especially since I can't get one in Austria and probably won't be next year. So
I'm putting my my address into the chat for future reference.
Right.
Maybe, isn't that maybe on your website anyway?
Me so that I can get a Vision Pro.
Yeah.
This involves beta. Chuck's not involved.
No, that beta I would participate in, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hardware betas are fine. Software betas.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine getting all your insurance products in 3D. Spatial world.
That would be funny.
Put you to sleep even faster.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Here's your healthcare options.
Yes. And you see piles and piles of documents stretching off into the
tables. Tables and tables and tables.
We have a new feature to your health insurance. We guarantee a good night's sleep.
Well, I could charge more for that.
Oh yeah, 100%. Good night's sleep is one of the best things you can do for your health. So.
Yeah, you know what? One of the other best things you can do is
TSO.
That's something
TSO. Smooth, Jeff.
Yep. And okay, the reason TSO host is good for your health. By the way, I am not a doctor or healthcare professional. However, I have played them on stage, so clearly that makes me qualified to make these statements. Yeah, TSO host.
Other thing, Jeff, have you ever drank a Dr. Pepper and or stayed at Holiday Inn Express?
It's been literal decades since I've drunk a Dr. Pepper. However, yes, Holiday Inn Express, that's happened much more recently. So clearly, I'm an expert.
He's qualified.
Yes. I'm qualified. Yes. Here's the deal. TSO hosts, they offer rock solid web hosting, and they make it easy to get set up and to use their services, and that lowers your stress. That's good for your health. And the other thing that they're doing is taking what they do so well and using that to help us be here for you and getting to smile and hang out with us. Smiles are good for your health. So there you go. We're actually part of your health and wellness routine. So, you know, no pressure, Chuck. Seriously, TSO hosts, by providing the web hosting we need for the website, the server space we need for the show file, so you can watch or listen to recordings anytime you want, and the bandwidth to live stream, all of that takes a crazy amount of resources, and it's beyond what we would be able to make happen on our own. And here they are just generously saying, hey, all of you, you are really cool, and we want you to be part of the community, and we want to give back to the community. So here, these are the resources you need. Feel free to use them. So we really, really appreciate that. And without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So thank you, TSO hosts. All right. Now, it's your turn to say thank you. So hop on social media and thank TSO hosts for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Pick your social media of choice and just go do it. And give them a little online love. If by chance you have a great idea for a domain name, like ischuckarobot.com. I like this. Let's do it. So hop on their website, add the domain name to your cart, and there you go. You can actually, they make it super easy to get a domain name. But if you're going to get ischuckarobot.com, why not build a website to go with it? Add in the hosting package you want. Now, when you do all of this, even if it's just buying domain names, add in the discount code BTN20. And you're going to get 20% off your order simply because you're part of the BTN family. That's super generous. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. And thank you for this awesome deal you're giving the whole BTN family. And with that, because it takes a family to make stuff like this run, Patrice, can you please help me out with the whole live chat thing and help people find that?
Of course I can. So it's really like we have a really, really, really awesome live chat. That's where we post all the links. Like when we're talking about that, Jeff like posted the link three times instead of just once. That's where that is happening, literally. And you can, like, if you're listening to this live, either right now or in the future, which you can do every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, and also every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, if you're into the non-Apple side of technology, like, I don't know, computer chips or chips in general, gaming, Android, Windows, space, cars, you name it, anything technology related, somehow vaguely sometimes. We talk about that on Thursdays. And then you just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com for the live chat. And that's it. You're in. Like, just open your browser, go there. You're in. Like, nothing else to do. It's not complicated. Even Jeff and Dave and Ben and me can do it. And
right.
Sometimes we struggle with that. So it's, and Chuck as well. I forgot. But Chuck is a robot, so like he knows all the technology. He can do so many things. And he knows all technology, right? That's why. No, I'm sorry, Chuck. But let's say you're listening to this in your in the recorded form in your favorite podcast player of choice on our website, wherever you find our content. You're listening to this right now. You're like, oh, like I would really like to see like the links to those news stories and what was talked about and. Maybe link up with a cool thing that's coming up, all of that. We do have chat transcripts. We have a little bot in our chat. And no, it's not Chuck. It's a BTN chat bot. It records, captures everything that was said and puts it up on our website. And we are, I checked the other day, it's going all the way back to 2015. So a long time we've had this bot running and recording everything. So if you want to know what we talked about today, for example, then you can just head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Then there's a little calendar that asks you what date do you want to see. And you put in the 10th of November, 2023. And you're done. You can see everything that was talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for helping with that.
Come on.
All right. So before we hop into the cool things, I have a question. I was out last week, so I wasn't here to see the results from our Scary Fast keynote poker. Mm-hmm. I do know that Ben came out as the reigning king. I don't know the rest of the stats. Does someone have the results handy?
I have them open. I can tell you. So you came in last with minus 20 points.
I had minus 20?
Minus 20. We had a big spread. Ben won with plus 30 and you had minus 20.
That's impressive.
I came in minus 11, so not that much better. Chuck plus 5 and Dave plus 13.
Wow. So I have a feeling I've set a new record for the lowest losing score we've ever had.
Probably, yes.
Pretty close.
I would say so, yes.
Congratulations.
I only beat you by 50, Chuck or Jeff.
Only 50.
Only
50. Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, before we move on, I want to add something that I didn't know about the chat. And as Patrice was talking, I just did it. I did not realize that the chat log updates pretty much in real time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I didn't know that. I don't know that I've ever heard that mentioned before.
Yeah, it's just reads the file. And you can go back to the 2nd of June 2020. Sorry, 2015, not 2020. June 2nd, 2015. It's all the way back to that.
Interesting.
It's not a lot in there. There's an Andy testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in there, and that's it. it's there. You can scroll down, you can see it all.
Very cool.
So if you want to know what we talked about on the Mac show in whatever, in July 2015, might be possible. Yeah, good one.
Okay.
We are all now on the website and checking. So yeah, there is funny stuff. There's first fully working communicator coming soon from DocRock, posted on July 10th, 2015, for example. That's a link. It might be interesting to go back and see what's in there.
That's really cool. All right, let's do some cool things. Dave, you have yours in the chat first, so fill us in.
Got a power bank. You can't go with a power bank here. This is Anker. It's one of their newer models, and they've got a really good price on it. It's 24,000 milliamp portable charger, 65 watts. It'll work with your MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, your iPhone, Apple Watch. It's got the two USB-C charging ports, and it charges with the USB-C because, you know, some of the older batteries I've had, you have to use that old dag-nabbit micro USB to charge it. And it has a USB-A port, fairly small size, and it'll fully charge most devices, even a Mac, up to 4.5 hours. It does say you could get about a little over 3 charges on an iPhone, and maybe a charge on a MacBook. But having it this portable, it's really nice. And hey, it's Anker. You can't beat Anker, and good product.
Nice. 25% off.
Yep. So it's $59.99 US. Yep.
That's nice.
That's my goal. That's my goal.
Nice. All right, Ben. Why am I not surprised by your pick?
Well, because I'm going to be talking about someone else with glorious purpose.
Fair. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So watching this will not be a burden. Last night, Loki had its season 2 finale. And I don't want to spoil it, but what a finale.
I
haven't watched it yet, so.
Oh, Patrice, you are going to love it. I will not say anything about what happens in the episode. I will say you will love it. It is so well done.
Yeah. I mean, the episodes this season have been great so far. So
yeah. Yeah, lots of twists and turns. And what happens both throughout the episode and the ending, I did not see coming.
Same. I was wonderfully and pleasantly surprised through the entire episode.
Yeah. But it is on Disney Plus, pretty much worldwide at this point. Tom Hiddleston continues to prove himself as, I think, the best actor in the MCU with the most compelling character.
Sorry, I'm multitasking because I just saw in the live chat someone just got banned. Wow.
Ooh. What?
Yeah.
Sweet.
And we didn't even have to do it.
It happened fast.
Wow. That was fast. Yeah, we didn't even know this Paul person was there.
Yeah, they came and went so fast. They showed up and they got hit with a ban hammer hard.
Must have been some pretty bad profanity.
I was going to say, they try to post something and they just kicked them right out.
Yeah.
Bam or something.
That's my guess. Anyhow. Wow. Yeah. The whole season of Loki was great. The growth arc of Loki from when the character is first introduced in the Avengers, or was it Thor? Anyhow, in the Phase 1 movies, and then to see that whole progression and all the way up through the end of this season, it's a really well done story.
Yeah.
All right. So that brings us to you, Patrice. Tell us about your cool thing, please.
So my cool thing is a book. It's called, I don't know, 7 years old in 2023. Nine? I don't know. It's hard math. I think it's 9 years old. 2023. Yeah, 9 years. August 2014. It's The Equalizer by Michael Sloan. I listened to it, like, I've listened to it at least twice now. It's a really good book. I mean, you might know the like the movies with who was it, Denzel Washington, I think.
Yep.
Right. You might maybe even remember the classic 1980s TV show. Michael Sloan was actually co-creator of that one. And this is the book for it. There's actually, I think, two books in the series. And it kind of tells the same thing as I think it tells kind of the same story as I think the first movie. But it's a really good book. It's really interesting. It's violent, as you would expect in some places. But it's just told so well that you basically don't want to stop listening to it. It's just a good book. What The Equalizer is about, but if you don't, it's basically just this guy in this case in the TV show. In the recent TV show, it was Queen Latifah, actually, but in this case, actually, it's a guy. He's a former covert officer for the CIA. Mysterious, doesn't talk much about it. He retires after some stuff happens on an operation. And there's stuff happening. He kind of accidentally stumbles into a lot of things because he kind of wants to help some people. Like, he's not going out and wanting to help some people. He just, like, whatever people he knows, whatever, have troubles mm-hmm. with, like a local gang, like asking for protection money, and he kind of stops that, and that is connected to some other stuff, and he kind of stumbles into this whole situation.
Yeah,
where he gets beaten up a bit and stuff like that. It's like he's not like the superhero, never, like, not a scratch, whatever. No, he gets beaten up quite badly a couple of times, but he has friends. He has friends from let's say the former times. Some of them also a bit older, because he's also not the youngest, and yeah, he kind of takes on some stuff that most people probably wouldn't. But I mean, he has also the background that he can do that. And through that, and through both books, actually, he kind of discovers this equalizer persona that he would, like, where he's like, there is people out there that are not in the luxurious position that they can deal with everything that life throws at them, or that, like, where the right people, or have the right amount of money to whatever, get the higher ups to notice you or help you. So the odds are kind of against you, and he is the person who can help you equalize the odds a little bit. And yeah, that's what The Equalizer is about. So a really good book.
And if that does sound familiar, The Equalizer and Reacher are pretty much the same thing.
Yes. And there's a bunch of, honestly, there's a bunch of them very similar.
It's sort of like the A-Team, but one person.
Yeah, kind of.
And they can actually hit things when they shoot at them.
Yes, yeah. He's a professional. So, like, he's killed people. Like, sniper rifles are not a problem for him. Like, he has skills. He can kill people with, like, I mean, close combat or long distance. Like, he's that kind of person. He has the skills. But as I said, he doesn't go away unscathed usually. Like, because he sometimes also goes up against people that surprise him, or, like, I mean, he's also not the youngest, so he's, like, not all his senses are perfect, and, like, his body is aging and stuff like that, and he has to deal with that. But he has a wealth of knowledge, and, as I said, a network of friends and people that he cares about, and that help him. Sometimes to their benefit and sometimes not. Like, in some cases it doesn't end well for them, but I'm giving away too much.
Awesome. Yeah, all right.
Really good book. And there's a second book if you care. It's really good.
I didn't know there were any Equalizer books, so now I have more to add to my reading list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right, Chuck, it is now your turn. What's your cool thing?
Okay, so this is kind of a double pick. Allow me to explain. Earlier this year, I decided to redo my office and studio area. And one of the mistakes I made when I first put this together was that I got a great deal on some of those glass computer desks, which have some definite advantages. They also have some definite disadvantages, one of which is that they are glass. Happily, I never had any mishaps, but it was time to make some changes. Also, the glass desks are crazy heavy. You don't realize how much they are. So I found a desktop on Monoprice that looked really good. So I ordered one. I ended up ordering three, actually, eventually. Because they were on a super discount. And so that's the first link. What I love about these is that they come in three pieces. So you assemble that part and you assemble them with two metal bars, one in the front, one in the back, that hold all three pieces together. But then it ends up really solidifying the whole unit. So there's no sag from any particle board or anything like that that, you know, is not supported. They're so well, it's so well built. But unfortunately, when I bought them, Monoprice did not have any of the stands that they're supposed to sit on. And
that's a problem.
In a way, it was kind of a good thing, Jeff, because what they did offer was they offered only hand cranks if for sit stand or electrical for sit stand, which I really didn't want to pay the money for either. I didn't even want to pay the money for the hand crank. I just wanted legs. So I went to Amazon and bought the legs that are in the second link and then put them, you know, screwed them on. Now, a couple things about that. First of all, the holes that are pre-drilled on the desktop don't necessarily line up with the hole, with all the holes on the legs. So I did have to do a little bit of extra drilling and measuring. And the one caveat I will give everyone is that don't drill too deep or you drill straight through. So one of the desks has a little punch through that I only made that mistake once. Yeah, but you know, but as what you end up with, and this particular arrangement of legs means that you've got double support because they come in. It's almost like a T brace, and if you click the link, you'll see what I mean. So that you've got not only side to side support, but you've also got some extra back and forth support as well. So what you end up with is a really, really solid desk. It's still heavy, not like the glass, but it is still heavy, but I'm completely comfortable on putting anything on these desks. And if you watch Monoprice, you can get some really good deals on it. Actually, the legs, I think right now, there's a 5% coupon code as well too. So if you don't mind just a little bit of do-it-yourself and you don't mind being a little patient to try to wait for the sales, you can really build yourself a nice solid desk that on the front side, it has just a general little curve in so that you can, you know, pull yourself in a little bit closer. The backside is completely straight. So in theory, I could, if I really wanted to, I could turn, if I needed that front, straight front edge, I could turn around and use it in reverse. But that would seem silly. There's no reason to. So the prices are competitive with everything that comes in the all-in-ones where the legs and the top come together. But honestly, I didn't find any of those that I really liked. And so when I saw the Monoprice deal, I thought, well, I'll try the top, and then bought the legs and haven't looked back.
Yeah. That's nice. I always recommend that. I mean, the all-in-ones are nice if you just want to have something from like standard, someone just ships it to you, you have it. But I did the opposite. I bought electrical legs, like sit stand. And then I bought like a solid piece of beech wood simply from the local Home Depot store and just that. And it's exactly nice. What I want, exactly the sizes I want, and like everything. I oiled it a little bit with some like surface oil, and that's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're just, I guess the lesson is don't just think that you have to buy everything. I mean, Patrice, that's a great yes. idea that I hadn't even thought yeah. about. Is just because an earlier desk that I had at an old place was just a basic piece of butcher block.
Mm-hmm. Very good for that.
Yeah, laid yeah. across a couple of file mm-hmm. cabinets, and mm-hmm. it was terrific.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of options out there.
Exactly. I mean, to be yes. honest, if you go to like to a carpenter or something and get something custom made, that's literally what they do.
Yeah. So nice. If you need a desk, get to it.
All right. That brings us to me. And this pick is actually a throwback to one that Patrice did a while ago, but yeah. I'm picking it now because it's been updated. And this is the Star Trek character generator replicate oh. yourself thing.
Hey.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because it's just been updated. So it has a bunch more options, and it adds in Strange New Worlds. So you can generate your character version of yourself as either a Lower Decks character or Strange New Worlds character. So a bunch of options, another part of the franchise mixed in, and it's just fun to be able to make your own version of yourself. And then you can download the image after you've made it. And anyhow, it's just a fun thing, and it's free. And it was great when Patrice first brought it up. And yeah. when I saw today that they had just updated it, I was like, well, there you go. We need to talk yeah. about this.
Unfortunately, it seems to have a bug. It redirects me to a /en-un/replicate-yourself, and that doesn't exist. So I think it's trying to do some logic with languages and countries, and fails, and then doesn't.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Hmm.
Well, they did just roll the changes out, so maybe they yeah.
maybe it's coming.
Maybe it's coming. Maybe they failed at part of the rollout.
Mm. I see it for like a second, and it redirects in it.
Okay. Well, it looks like you're about to fire up a VPN.
Exactly, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeff, this is really interesting. I mean, the one thing that I don't remember the earlier version having is it has a little dice roll feature that mm-hmm. you can just, if you just want to mm-hmm. randomize things, which is very cool.
I don't mm-hmm. remember yeah. that. So that's a yeah. good idea.
Yeah, that's a real good idea. But there's one thing I don't like about it, just doing this, is I want to know why they want my birth date.
Yeah, I question that same thing.
They want your birth date?
They yep. wanted my birth date, so I faked one, and then it let me through. But
that's so weird. It did not ask for my birth date.
Really?
Maybe they're trying to figure out if you're a robot.
You gonna start that again?
You never know. I mean, did they throw up a CAPTCHA at you?
No.
And you look at it, and you're like, that doesn't look like anything to me.
No, it just asked for my birth date. And then it, yeah, I don't quite know.
I have one thought.
Mm-hmm.
One of the props you can select is actually a bottle of booze.
It is?
Okay. Yeah. So that's probably like a...
It's funny you should say yeah. that, because I'm looking at the one that I started making of me, and I do have a glass of whiskey in its hand.
Mm. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's one of those U.S. things where you can't have booze, and in Europe it would be like, so what?
Yeah, so what?
It's a cartoon. So
where are you seeing that? Because I'm not seeing that.
See the communicator icon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the accessory yeah. that goes in your hand.
Oh, there it is. Okay,
and, I see. And there are several booze options.
Hmm. That's interesting. So I wonder if I chose, if I was younger,
if it would just hide the booze from you.
If it would hide the booze, that might be
just like at home.
Okay, so maybe I shouldn't be as paranoid as I was.
No.
It's okay to be should, paranoid.
Exactly. You should be exactly that paranoid.
Yeah.
It's like, ask the question. If the answer is, no, okay, it's fine. Okay, then it's fine. But you should ask the question.
Yeah. Hmm. You're right. There are, farther down, there are a lot of drink options.
Yeah. They even have the drinks, the Betazoid women had.
Mm. Huh.
All right. So interesting.
Great pick, Jeff. Very nice.
Nice.
And I didn't cost you any money. Side note, there has been an announcement on Prodigy season 2 on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I forgot the date, but I think it's in December is when it drops.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, good. So it's this year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So it's time to wrap up. Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at InTouchableiOS and InTouchableiOS.com. As the time mm-hmm. you listen or watch this show, we'll have my birthday show with everybody on this panel attending. It's going to be a lot of fun. YouTube channel is youtube.com/InTouchableiOS. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night, and I'm here on Fridays, and I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 at Mastodon.club.
Awesome, and happy birthday again.
Thank you.
Your Majesty, Ben, where can people find
Subject.
You?
Well, you can find all my... you can find me on social media at Ben Rathig. You can find my royal writings at Rathig.tech. On Tuesdays, when I'm not sick, you can find me on Mac Voices with Chuck Joyner. Typically on Thursdays, but today, because we have been burdened with the glorious purpose of his birthday, I am usually on David Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. And then every Thursday and Friday here on the British Tech Network on the Big and Mac shows.
Awesome. All right. And Chuck, where can people find you?
I'm programmed to be on MacVoices.com at all times.
This is why I love you, Chuck.
We do Mac Voices Live, as was previously mentioned, on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with everyone here, including Patrice, if she stays up late. Mm-hmm. At youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. Love to have you join us in the chat room there. And the rest of the time on pretty much any of the socials that matter, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. And maybe even a couple socials that don't.
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Star Trek Prodigy opens on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. Nice. Okay.
Okay, that's yeah. awesome.
One of those forgettable days, Jeff. Yeah, good job.
Oh, you know, I'm trying to keep track of all of the Doctor Who specials that are about to drop, and now we have
Prodigy. Only there was an app for that.
Okay, here's the thing, Patrice, you are absolutely right, and just I have watch. The apps on my phone, and I should take advantage of them.
Yes,
that's on me. Yeah.
Yeah, it was even a cool thing, TV forecast.
Yeah. Yep. I also have Couch Time,
mm-hmm.
and I have Call Sheet. It's not mm-hmm. it's not like I don't have the tools on my phone to do this for me. I just need to use them. Yep. Patrice, our former benevolent ruler. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me here every week on this very show on the British Tech Network on Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time, as always. Also Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time on The Big Show, where we talk about the non-Apple side of things, as I mentioned before. You can find out everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, literally everything. It sounded like I'm doing social media. You can find all of that on my website, thepatrice.com, and you can find like a really cool podcast with really cool people talking about food, food-related stories and memories on foodieflashback.com, because that's Foodie Flashback.
Awesome. All right. So for me, social medias, Jake Gamut everywhere. I am most active on Mastodon and Instagram, and I'm working on being more active on Threads. And then for shows, probably up until this week, Chuck has let me on Mac Voices Live, and I've enjoyed the run. And yeah. Anyhow, Chuck, thank you for letting me on. And Dave continues to let me on In Touch with iOS. And I'm definitely looking forward to the birthday episode that we will be recording shortly after we wrap up here. Then here on the British Tech Network, I'm here for you on Thursdays for the big show, Fridays for the Mac show. And then Brian Chaffin and I record the Context Machine. Yes, this week's episode is out, and you should go check it out, because this is the episode where I interview Brian about his book, Accidental Intelligence, which is available for pre-order right now and ships on November 14th. Yes, I totally just dropped an ad for Brian's book into the show. Yeah. All right. So
you're welcome.
Yeah, Brian, I expect my cut of the royalties. Okay. The Daily News Show, check it out, because it is absolutely worth your time. And then throw some money at it to support it, because Kyle does an amazing job. And yeah, just start throwing money at it. Go crazy. Let's see. So thank you to all of you for putting a smile on my face. All of you are absolutely awesome. And I love getting to do the show with you every week. All of our fans, family, all of you that are here live with us, watching, listening in the chat room, whatever, thank you for being part of this. You're all awesome. Everyone that watches or listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family. TSO hosts, thank you for being here and supporting us. Go give them some online love. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And with that, I think it's safe to say that you should all come back and join us next Thursday for the big show. And then again, next Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.